Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. The title of this morning's message is Bart's Firm Faith. Bart's Firm Faith. We're going to be looking at the story of blind Bartimaeus. Now let's go ahead and read together, beginning in verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he, that is Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni," which means master, Lord, "that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, each one of us, we're so different with so many different needs. And yet, Jesus, you are the only answer. And there are some situations in our lives that no one else can help us with. It's a dark situation. And Jesus, the only one that can help is you. And so, Lord, we're here. We're here to hear your voice. We're here to be encouraged by you. We're asking, Lord, that you would shine your light of life in our darkness and help us to see things. Give us insight and answer prayers, direct us, guide us, Lord. That's why we're here. We're here to hear from you. And so we ask that you would do the work by your Spirit as we study your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe that the greatest day in every believer's history is the day when you became a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, and I wonder, what were the circumstances leading up to your conversion? Were you hurting? Were you in some sort of trouble? Did you feel that void inside? That no matter what you did in this world, nothing of this world filled that void. That void just kept coming back. What was your need? What's your story? Now, I love to hear people's testimonies. And I wish we had the time that we can go and just listen to everyone's story. If we did, I'm sure we would find that many of us have a lot of things in common. Maybe different circumstances, but there would be those similarities. Really, you? Yeah, me too. And this is what the Lord did. Oh, yeah. And then there would be some of us that we would be like, "You did what? You used to what? I can never see you acting that way or being that way." Have you ever met people like that? When they tell you their background, you're like, "Oh my goodness, I would have never hung out with you. I mean, I thought I was bad." You know, again, I just love conversion stories. And today, we're looking at one of my favorites. It's a story about, I call him Bart, we know him as Bartimaeus, who seemed to be of the lowest social significance of his day. And one of the things that I love about this story is how the story shows the great value that Jesus places on all people, no matter what or how insignificant they may appear to be to others. I love that about our Lord. I mean, some of us in this room, you know, it's hard to tell by looking at you, but I can only imagine some of us were really down and out. And the Lord, He came and He rescued us in our darkness when other people around us perhaps lost all hope that there was any rehabilitation or any hope for you. But Jesus, He's not like that. When everyone else gives up on us, one thing I'm so thankful is that the Lord, He values us. He values you. Maybe you're feeling down and out today. Maybe you're feeling that, you know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. That's not true. Don't lose hope. Don't let Satan lie to you and discourage you. There's always hope in Jesus. He came and He died on the cross for our sins to give us life. And in our darkest situations, the greatest thing you can do is cry out to Him, even as we read how Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. And he didn't let anything stop him. Now, a second thing that I find fascinating about this story is how the account demonstrates every believer's experience in this sense. You know, Bart was in total darkness until Jesus called him out of darkness and gave him light. And then Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus Christ. I can't help but be reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when he said this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." Remember those dark days in the past? Things have changed for many of us, huh? It's been a brighter experience since Christ stepped in and rescued us. And you know what? As I often say, the best is yet to come. Because the Scripture tells us that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Man, that just ignites my heart on fire. We have a bright, bright future ahead of us. No matter what you may be going through today, you look to Jesus, and He will help you. Another aspect of the story is that it puts on display qualities of genuine faith that help us to see if we have genuine faith in Jesus, or it also helps us to serve us as a guide. As a guide to see if we're still on the road of faith, if we're still following Jesus. And well, that'll become the emphasis of our study this morning. And we'll see later on, as we go through the Scriptures once again, we'll see later on these qualities of faith that we can use as a gauge. Now, I draw your attention to the 46th verse once again. "Now they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he sat by the road begging." So right off the bat, we see Bartimaeus, he was at a major disadvantage. He was blind. Obviously, he was poor. He was a beggar. And beggars were a common sight in most towns, commentators tell us. Because most occupations of that day required physical labor, anyone with a crippling disease or disability was at a severe disadvantage and was usually forced to beg. And even though God's law commanded care for such needy people, you could see in Bart's situation, for whatever reason, you don't really see Bart had a family, there's none of those details. What you see is a poor, blind beggar just kind of sitting there on the road, hoping that someone would help him, a man with great need. And what a glorious day that was for Bartimaeus. That day that Bartimaeus was sitting there on the side of the road, and Jesus steps in to the picture of his life. Now, Bartimaeus, although he may not have been a theologian or may not have known much or perhaps was considered by society very insignificant, he did know something about Jesus. He must have heard all of the fame of Jesus to the extent that even though he may not have known much, for example, the disciples, they walked with Jesus for 3 years. He invested in them. This is near the end of Jesus' life here on the earth as he's closing his ministry. And what would close his ministry would be the crucifixion. That is his ministry, his physical ministry here on the earth. His ministry still goes on today. And isn't it great? How many of you have been ministered to by Jesus already this morning? What a great joy it is to be ministered by Jesus. He's still discipling his disciples. But physically, his ministry had come to an end or was coming to that point. His disciples, they knew so much. And they, like you and I, so often, even though they knew so much, they were slow to get things. Well, Bartimaeus, there was a couple of things that he got. And what impresses me about Bartimaeus, chances are he only knew a little, but what he did know, he acted on. What did he know? Well, we see in his cry what he knew about Jesus. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he must have said, what's going on? What's all the commotion? And some of the folks started to say, hey, Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't see him as just Jesus of Nazareth. He saw him as Jesus, the son of David. And that's a reference to the Messiah. He saw him as the Messiah. And in his cry, for everyone to hear, he said, Jesus, Messiah, son of David. Another thing he knew was that Jesus was merciful. And he cried out, he said, have mercy on me. And then many warned him to be quiet. Imagine that. Put yourself in Bart's situation. You're sitting there on the side of the road, blind, and yet you hear that Jesus is there, and you know that he can help you. But you can't see him. It's not like you can just get up and run to him. And so what he used was his voice. So he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then everyone around starts to tell you, shut up. Shut up. Be quiet. They warned him, hey, you better be quiet. Nice neighbors, nice friends, nice, yeah. But isn't that how the world can be? The world can be pretty cold, pretty harsh. Sometimes that's even how the church can be. You get so used to hearing people's trouble or being around people, and you get so used to their trouble that, you know, they become a nuisance to you. We got to be very careful that we don't look at our brothers and sisters or people who are in tough situations after a while that we don't look at them as an annoyance. Oh, here comes Bart. Everybody's got to surround Bart and help Bart because Bart is always, you know, in need. Here comes needy Bart. Sometimes we can be like that. And something cool is going on and we're like, shut up, you're ruining it. Be quiet. Well, what I love about Bart is that he didn't allow anyone to hinder him from reaching Jesus. He used what he could, his voice. And so what he started to do was cry out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And one of the lessons I get from this is how we are to be like Bartimaeus. What an example. And what I mean is this: don't quit crying out until Jesus responds. He didn't quit crying out. The people were like an obstacle, but faith caused him to hurdle that obstacle. And it was like he was saying, "You shut up, Jesus, help." I like that. I admire that in him. You know, it's a sad thing that blindness was considered a curse from God for sin. But Jesus, he refuted that idea when he reached out to heal Bartimaeus. I say that because you remember in John's gospel, there was another blind man. And Jesus was asked this question: who sinned? I mean, that was what they concluded. It was someone's sin that he was born blind. Was it his parents or was it him? They had these superstitions. I mean, if it was him, he was born blind. When did he sin? When he was in his mother's womb? I mean, some people, the way people think, you ever run into superstitious people? You're like, what are you thinking? Well, for whatever reason, they had these ideas. But Jesus, he dispelled it, as I said. He refuted the idea when he reached out to him. In verse 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." Isn't that funny how fickle people are? Shut up. And then Jesus calls for him. He says, "Hey, be of good cheer. He's calling you." You know, that's how sometimes we could be too if we're not careful. We see one of our brothers or sisters going, you know, in a real dark situation, and where they're, "You're such a pain in the butt." And then God starts blessing them. "Oh, I knew. I was praying for you. I knew God was going to." Oh, God, have mercy on us. In verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. I would imagine, you know, those folks, they helped him up. He said, "Hey, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He's calling for you." And he didn't have much. And the little that he had, he just threw it aside. He didn't want anything to trip him up, anything to hinder him. When Jesus called, boom, he responded quickly. That's how we ought to be. And so Jesus, verse 51, answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni," again, "Lord, Lord, Master, that I may receive my sight." That was his need. And he knew that Jesus could help him, the only one. And Jesus came, his ministry, a part of his ministry was to give sight to the blind. Luke tells us that. And Jesus came and he did miracles. And he healed people. And it wasn't for the reason just to do miracles. He wasn't a miracle worker. He came to preach the gospel and to fulfill prophecy as the Messiah. And those miracles were there to validate his claims as to who he was. And so this man, in faith, knowing who Jesus was, he requested what he requested, and Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." In the King James, it says, "Your faith has made you whole, complete." And immediately, he received his sight. And now it's interesting because Jesus says, "Go your way." He could have went, did whatever he wanted. Yay! Now I can go do all those things that I haven't been able to do. But that's not what the man did. You know, it's amazing because Jesus, he values us. He valued this man, and this man valued Jesus. It's just such a beautiful relationship between God and his creation. You know, God loves us. Without doubt, he loves us. But unfortunately, not everyone responds to the love of God. But Bart did. He responded to God's love. And a beautiful relationship started here. And he began to follow Jesus on the road. That was his new way now. That was his way. I'm going your way, Jesus. I value you. I love you. What you've done for me, man, thank you, Lord. I owe you my life. I want to live for you and for your purposes. I love this story. Beautiful conversion story. Now, consider Bart's firm faith. There's 9 things in closing. And let's get serious here, because if we're not serious, we'll distract the people around us. You distract me too, and that's not good. But anyway, I love you, and we move forward. Bart's firm faith. Bart's firm faith. There's 9 things that I want to present to you that I see that is consistent with firm faith. And what amazes me is you don't need to know much about Jesus. There are some core things you do need to know. When you know these things, you act on those things. And when you act on those things, you experience the ability to really see Jesus. You know, some have said, seeing is believing. Really, in the faith, believing is seeing. And so here we are, 9 things. Number 1, his faith was a result of his need. Bart's faith was a result of his need. And isn't that true of us? I mean, at some point in your history, it was your need. Nothing in this world could fill that void inside. You tried this, you thought this would do it, you thought that would do it, but there was always that void, that need. And then at some point you started to be opened up to, you know, maybe what I need is not anything that this world can offer. Maybe what I need is you, God. I need you in my life. And often that's really the case that I see for us, is that it's been our need that's brought us to Jesus. God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I need your help. Well, certainly it was Bart's need that brought him to saving faith in Christ. The second thing is his faith moved him to action. He believed in Jesus, and he believed that Jesus could help him. And so he acted on that faith, and his faith was verified as genuine by his actions. And when Jesus called him, the first thing before Jesus even called him, his action was identifying who Jesus was. Jesus, you're the Messiah. You are merciful. And I pray that you show me mercy. Be merciful to me. And I would imagine he also recognized that he was a sinner and he was in need of a Savior. And Jesus was his Savior. And that's why he followed him. But then he got up, he acted on that faith. When Jesus called him, he was obedient. And he just cast off whatever it could have been that held him back to follow and pursue Jesus and to obey Jesus. The fourth thing, and I love this, is his faith didn't quit when others quit on him. And that's an admirable thing to see. When someone is determined to connect with Jesus, regardless of what others think about them, what others may even say or how they may influence them, try to bring them down. You know, perhaps there's some of you and you're going through a very dark situation in your life right now. And your environment, people around you, are no help to you whatsoever. Their counsel stinks. I could think of some other words, but... And every time you get around them, you feel like burdens are being placed on you. And maybe you have blown it. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you brought it upon yourself. But Jesus will never quit on you. He loves you. Maybe you may have to confess your sin and turn from it, or maybe it's not a sin issue. Whatever the case is, Jesus will never quit on you. And I love how, even though others quit on Bartimaeus, he didn't let what others thought, what others said, cause him to quit on pursuing Jesus. The fifth thing was his faith is what Jesus responded to. It was his faith. You know, the writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I can't help but see how Bart was blessed with his sight. He was rewarded by his faith. I guess if you want to put it that way, it works for me. Number six, his faith motivated him. His faith motivated him to cast off what would hinder him from obeying Jesus. You may think, that verse where it says that he threw aside his garment, verse 50. You know, as I said, not sure what that could represent or what that represents, but it could represent, Bart didn't have much. But whatever he had, he didn't want what he had to be a hindrance or to slow him down to obeying Jesus. Jesus called him. He just left it aside and just got up and followed Jesus. And some of us, we may have things in our lives, and they may not even be a big deal. But they're hindering you from really following and obeying Jesus. They're slowing you down. Remember what Paul said. Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And there comes a point where we start to value Jesus more than even some things that may seem insignificant to us. Let me tell you, those things that slow us down, it's best to just cast them off. Just throw it aside to obey Jesus. Number seven, his faith request was granted. Number eight, his faith led to following Jesus. His faith led him to become a disciple of Christ. And it's been thought of in a church history that Mark, he really focuses on one. There were two blind men. Luke focuses on one as well. Matthew brings up the both of them. But Mark focuses on Bartimaeus. Some suppose was because Bartimaeus was perhaps more vocal. But others have suggested that Bartimaeus became very well known in the Christian community as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so Mark, writing his name, people would know who he was. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. People knew who he was. And the point is that he had such value of Christ. He wanted to pursue Jesus, and he did, and became such a disciple that he was well known among the community of believers. And I can't help but think, I'm not going to mention any of your names, but there are some of you here that some years ago you didn't know Jesus, and then the Lord led you here. You came to know Jesus, and before you weren't known in the community of faith, but now Anybody mentions your name, they know exactly who you are. The core group and the growing group knows. Mention this person's name, they know who you are. And it's been because you became a follower of Christ. You're well known among the saints. I think that that's a glorious thing. And lastly, his faith made him well. And I think without doubt, a person who has genuine faith, one of the outcomes of genuine faith is that you become complete in Christ. You may not have a physical healing. Hey, look, we're all going to have a physical healing on that one day. That is all of us who are born again and are true followers of Christ. Well, the Bible tells us that we'll be changed and this corruption will put on incorruption. And I know some of us are like, amen. Hallelujah. But I think the healing of the heart, the healing of the mind is so much more important. The healing of the relationship, you know, where before I was at odds with God, but then that relationship with Jesus has been mended, I guess. Not that he had an issue with me, so to speak. And so I think, as the scripture says, that he has given us that spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. And that's beautiful when we see that faith makes us well. In closing, let me ask you, are you in a situation where all you can see is darkness? Then this is what you need to do. You need to cry out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And here's the reason why. It's because Jesus replies or responds to those cries of faith. I'll tell you, many of us here, we've experienced how Jesus has heard our cry. And maybe you're doubting that God loves you. You're doubting that God's with you. You've been through a sustained period of darkness, and it's just getting to the point where you've given up hope. Don't quit. Don't quit believing that Jesus is going to help you. You cry out to him with all sincerity, and he responds to those cries of faith. And I'm going to close with this scripture, Psalm 18, verse 28, where the psalmist writes, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." And Lord, we thank you that you are the true light that lights every man. And that is, you are the one who gives the truth, and you teach us what is right. And you help us. And when we cry out to you in faith, you respond to those cries of faith. And you shine the light of life in the darkest of our situations. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our hope and our peace, and that there is none like you. And Lord, I pray for everyone here. I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would give them your peace and your great grace to sustain them through whatever some of them may be going through. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's here that doesn't know you. I pray that today they would cry out to you with saving faith. They would draw near to you, because your word tells us as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And that they would confess you as Lord and believe in your heart, Jesus, that you are alive, that the Father rose you from the dead, and walk after you, follow after you every day of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.